Les colloques du Collège de France.
We'll stay in the UK with Professor Émilie Courtin, who is Associate Professor of Health Policy and who co-directs the MSc in Health Policy Planning and Financing at the London School of Economics. Her research combines social epidemiology and social policy to assess how non-medical policies influence health, disease, and healthcare use. She started in social policy at the London School of Economics, and her PhD was awarded the 2018 Richard Titmuss Prize for Best Thesis. She was previously also a David Bell Fellow at Harvard University and an MRC Skills Development Fellow at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Maria, for this introduction. It's really great to be here today. So I'm going to tell you about some of my work looking at the impact of non-medical social policies and mental health outcome, and I will focus on the impact of family policies more specifically. All right, so that's how I thought I would organize my talk, tell you why I think social policies are really important for parents' mental health, and what role they might play. It's a very big literature, so I wanted to show you what are the key findings on both maternity and paternity leave policies more specifically. And then I thought I would outline three questions which I think are really important, and we have ongoing work in this area. So whether there are long-term benefits of those type of family policies beyond the postpartum period, so longer term mental health benefits. What type of parental leave might be beneficial? Would long parental leave be beneficial or shorter periods? What is the evidence in that area? And importantly, who might benefit the most from those policies? And I'll finish with a bit of a summary of what I discussed, but also what we still don't know and really would like to know in that area of research. So let me start with the big picture as to why family policies and specifically parental leave policies might matter. I think it's fair to say that perinatal mental health has long been quite a neglected public health priority. This is data for the UK, but it's very similar across European countries. One in five mothers experience a perinatal mental health disorders. It's not just mothers, it's also fathers. One in 10 will be affected in the perinatal period. And unfortunately, only about 40% of affected mothers ever seek treatment for the perimental mental health problem. And as David already mentioned, this is very much an intergenerational issue. So this is work from colleagues at LSE, Martin Knapp and colleagues, who try to cost the impact of perinatal mental health problems. So where do the costs of mental health issues in the postpartum period will fall? And these are estimates from 2014, and this has just gotten worse over time. So what they show is that overall, per annual birth cohort, the cost is 8.1 billion. And importantly, there are direct costs for mothers, of course, right? The cost of depression, seeking care, etc. But that's only 28% of the cost. Most of the cost will be borne by kids, right? It's this intergenerational issue that kids will suffer in the long run from the poor mental health of their mothers in the postpartum period. So definitely an issue that is really key to tackle. And the argument I'm going to try to make today is that parental leave policies, as one type of family policy, do have a role to play to alleviate mental health issues for mothers, and that will ultimately have consequences for kids as well. So what do I mean by parental leave? This is very simply job protective leave of absence for employed parents after childbirth to take care of their baby. And this is how we're thinking about it. Of course, within parental leave, there are different types of policies. It can be maternity leave for mothers, where there are differences in the duration of the leave, how much of a wage replacement you're getting. More recently, there has been development in paternity or partner leave with differences around quotas, specifically for fathers, incentive designs to encourage fathers to take up that leave. and ultimately as well shared parental leave, right? So the possibility for parents to share the total amount of leave that they get. So that's the different types of policies that are available to parents across Europe or in the world in general. So why do we think it would have an impact on mental health? So we are hypothesizing that there are a number of mechanisms, and these are just a number of examples. It could be reduced time pressure, for example. Mothers will have more time for recovery, for bonding with their kids because they're not at work. It can really improve financial security. If you have the guarantee of having your job back after your period of leave, then it's reduced economic stress in the postpartum period. It can share, you can share more equitable, in a more equitable way, the care burden with your partner. It might reduce your social isolation during that time, and it might foster your labor market attachments, which gives you identity, purpose, income security, and so on, right? So these are the mechanisms through which we think those parental leave policy will have an impact. And what we're thinking then is that it's going to improve a large range of mental health outcomes, and I'm going to show you the evidence in a second. Ranging, of course, from postnatal depression, that's for both mothers and fathers, anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress, but also on the more acute severe end. We have some evidence on psychiatric hospitalization. And going back to what David was mentioning, there is also evidence on intergenerational effects, because we know there is an impact of mothers' mental health on cognitive function for children, as well as their emotional outcomes, right? So that's the framework we're using to try to think why such a distal policy, right, a policy that is quite removed from mental health to start with, might have an impact on mental health outcomes. So a bit of a spoiler alert at this stage, we only have evidence on maternity leave and paternity leave policy, right? Right now there is no evidence on shared parental leave, which is a pity, but they're more recent, those policies, so we don't have yet evidence on that, but there will be, I'm sure, work coming up in that area. All right. What is also interesting and what we've been taking advantage of as researchers is that, of course, the type of entitlements you would have to parental leave will vary a lot across country. So this is just a snapshot that I put together based on the OECD family database and across a number of countries. So it's ranging from Sweden at the top, which has most generous parental leave. Mothers can take up to 69 weeks of leave that they can use the way they want, including sharing with their partner in the first 12 years of the life of their kids, right? And they can take it at any time that they want. All the way down at the bottom, and it will be a surprise to no one, there is the US, which doesn't offer any type of paid parental leave at the federal level. There is unpaid parental leave. And there are, of course, some states like California that do offer some paid parental leave, but not at the federal level, right? There is no overall policy offering that. The average leave across OECD countries is 18 and a half weeks. So if you look at France, which is in bold here, we're just below that average for mothers at 16 weeks of paid parental leave. So those entitlements, they vary across country, but also within countries, they're varied a lot over time, right? There are lots of developments and entitlements tend to become more and more generous over time. And this is what, as researchers, we're going to be exploiting to try using quasi-experiments to try to get to the causal effect of a change in policy on mental health outcomes. So this is a field of research that has been transformed in the past 20 years. So I've put together an overview of the number of studies that have been published on parental leave and mental health outcomes, any types of mental health outcomes in any country between 2000 and 2024. And what is really striking to me is it's a clearly expanding fields of research, but there are three key periods which very much correspond to key policy developments over time. At the very beginning here, between 2000 and 2010 or so, we have very few studies, right? Just a handful of studies which are largely focused on Scandinavian countries, which makes sense because it's really the countries that have pioneered the introduction of generous maternity, paternity leave policy. So a lot of the work initially focused on those countries. Between 2010 and 2016, 2018, you have a second wave of countries which correspond of studies, sorry, which correspond to experimentation in the US. There are lots of experimentation at the state level with policy expansions. For example, California introduced paid parental leave. So that's a lot of policy and then research interest during those years. And then there is again a very large increase in most recent years, which I think is due to a number of factors. There is a growing policy debate. A lot of countries are expanding parental leave, introducing father leaves, reforming the type of leave that they are offering. And I think there is also an increased awareness of the importance of postpartum mental health. So because it's such a large and active field of research, I'm not going to cover everything, obviously, but I wanted to give you some snapshots of the key findings on maternity and paternity leave and their impact on mental health outcomes. So I think there is now very clear and consistent evidence on the positive impact of more generous leave duration on mothers' mental health. And if you're interested, there is a really great systematic review published by Eshmati and colleagues in 2023 in the Lancet Public Health, where they covered 45 studies across 14 countries, exclusively high-income countries, unfortunately. And it's a mix of quasi-experimental and associational studies, right? So the strength of the evidence does vary, and I'm very happy to come back to why that matters in the discussion. But what they find is that longer leave duration is constantly associated with a reduction in maternal depressive symptoms across countries. They also find a reduction in other mental health outcomes, reduction in psychological distress and burnout. And this is particularly the case when the leave is well compensated, right? It's not just that you are able to go away, it's that you have the wage replacement is relatively generous. And there is also some evidence of reduction in mental health care use, right? So for example, there is an interesting study in Canada that showed that the expansion of maternity leave duration was associated with lower mental health-related GP visits. An important aspect, which I will come back to, is that there seems to be some sort of a threshold effect. There are positive protective effects on mental health that are most consistently observed across countries when there is at least 2 to 3 months of leave. Shorter than that, there is no effect on mental health. Or when it's unpaid, the effect of mental health are very, very, very small. But then when we look at longer leave, as leave increases, there seems to be diminishing return beyond 6 months of leave, right? So there seems to be some sort of a trade-off that I will come back to in a minute. The evidence on paternity leave is a lot more complicated, right? So I'm going to show you some data on a study that we did with Maria and colleagues using the ELF core study, and that's work that was led by Catherine Berry at INSERM. So what we did is we wanted to look at the effect of paid paternity leave, and at the time it was 2 weeks, the statutory entitlement is now 4 weeks, on postpartum depression at 2 months post-birth, so within the immediate period post-birth, and for that we used the ELF cohort study, which I'm sure many of you are already familiar with. Because of the way the ELF cohort study is set up, we couldn't use a quasi-experiment, so a policy reform. So instead, and again, I'm happy to get into more details about that in the discussion, we used inverse probability weighting to try to compare the fathers who took up versus didn't take up the leave. What do we find? We find that fathers who use the leave reported lower odds of depression, so good news. For those who actually took it up, they were better off from it. But, and that was very surprising, I think it's fair to say, that mothers whose partners use the leave reported higher odds of postpartum depression. right? So there are many reasons why that might be the case, and I think our working hypothesis that we would love to test more formally is that it's possible that those fathers who decided to take a paternity leave might have had a partner, so the mothers, already with some mental health problem, and that's why they were taking up the leave. So we've also worked on the UK, and this is work by Emily Humphrey, who is doing her PhD with me, and her setup is very similar to the one we had in the health study. She's interested at looking at the effect of paid paternity leave, which is also 2 weeks in the UK, but with a lower wage replacement, only about 20% of average earnings, on depressive symptoms and well-being, but with a slightly longer time frame, up to a year afterwards. And we're using Understanding Society, which David already mentioned earlier. Same methods, and what do we find? No effect overall on mothers and fathers, right? Very precisely estimated null effect, but very important heterogeneity by father's income, right? Fathers with above median income, so who are financially better off, were more likely to be able to afford to take the leave, and when they did, they really benefited from it in terms of their mental health. So really inequalities in terms of who is able to take the leave in the UK system, likely because of the low wage replacement rate, and I'll come back to that in a second. That gives you a very broad overview of what we have so far in the literature. And I now want to ask a few questions that I think are generating interesting evidence in the field at the moment. The first one is, are there benefits beyond the immediate postpartum period, right? All of the studies I've talked about so far, they looked at mental health up to a year after the birth of interest. Are there benefits beyond that period? And the seminal study on this, which is by Mauricio Avendano and Lisa Bergman and colleagues, has shown that there are indeed long-run effects of maternity benefits on mental health across European countries. So they used the different entitlements that I showed you a snapshot of earlier to try to look at the effect on mental health much later in the life course of the women who were eligible across different countries. And they find that maternity leave benefits were associated with a reduction in depressive symptoms in later life when they were 50 and over, so decades after the eligible birth. So it's not just important in the postpartum period, but it might have long-term effects on the mental health across the life course. So with Naya and colleagues in Denmark, we thought, great, why don't we try to test it out using the fantastic Danish registry data. So we wanted to look at the long-term effects of a parental leave extension that happened in Denmark in 1984. We use a quasi-experimental approach using linked individual level data from a number of Danish national registries. And our outcome was the first psychiatric diagnosis following the birth of the child who made the mother eligible to the leave. And the way we had to measure it was the first day of inpatient hospital admission for any psychiatric disorder. So these are inpatient admissions, so for quite severe mental health problems, which is arguably a really hard test of our policy. We have quite a large sample of over 280,000 mothers who gave birth within the time frame that we had for the study, and we follow them up for a maximum of 30 years. So this is how our results are looking like, and to orient you on the graph, on the horizontal axis you have the years of follow-up, so 0 to 30 years, and on the vertical axis you have our outcomes, the probability of a psychiatric diagnosis following in the follow-up, and we have our treatment group who receive longer maternity leave, which is in dark gray, and the control group who did not receive the longer maternity leave, was not eligible, and this is the light gray. And what you can see is that in the 5, 10, 15, and up to 20 years after the birth, we do find a reduced, a lower risk of having a psychiatric diagnosis and an inpatient admission for psychiatric disorders. The trend continues up to 30 years, but our estimates are not very precisely estimated. So again, clearly long-term benefits of those parental leave extensions. Another interesting question in the literature is about long-term parental leave, right? So all those parental leaves I've talked about so far are relatively short parental leave, up to 6 months or so, but a number of European countries, Austria, Germany, France, actually have very long parental leave with the idea that it might boost fertility rate, which is very much on the policy agenda at the moment. So with Léa Simeli, with a postdoc with me, we are working on the French APEUS, which is the Allocation Parentale d'Éducation, which is a paid parental leave, not very well compensated, but about 400 euros per month, that can last up to 3 years per child, right? So you can take a parental leave for up to 3 years. It has been a widely successful scheme with over 500,000 beneficiaries in 1997. And what we are exploiting here, because we are running a quasi-experimental approach, is that in 1994, the APEU was reformed and extended not just to mothers who have 3 children, but also to mothers who have only 2 children. So at the birth of your second kid, you were eligible to take the APEU if that's what you wanted. So we are using the Constance cohort matched with administrative data on APEU eligibility and labor market history. The key question we have is that it could really go both ways with those long-term parental leave schemes, right? Is it beneficial for eligible mothers' mental health because they're going to have more time to spend with their kids and they're going to have a guarantee that they can go back to their job? Or does it have a long-term negative effect on their mental health because it's likely to reduce their attachment to the labor market, for example, right? So, It can really go both ways, the impact of those much longer parental leave scheme. So these are our results for the impact of the labor on the labor market participation 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years after the eligible birth. And what matters here, so these are results from a regression discontinued design, is that zero is the birth that is eligible to the reform, where we would expect a change in their labor market activity, which is what we see at 1 year and at 2 years. Women who decided, who are eligible to the APEU, reduced their labor market participation, but the effect dissipates by 3 years after birth. They do go back to their jobs. They do go back on the labor market. So we then looked at the effect on depressive symptoms, right? Wondering what would be the long-term effect on depressive symptoms of that type of policy. And this is depressive symptoms on women after the age of 45. And we find zero effect, right? There is no discontinuity for those who are eligible to the APEU. We looked at different subgroups. We find very consistent null effects. So there is no long-term negative effect or no benefits either, but long-term negative effects of taking up longer parental leave. And to us, that was interesting because our hypothesis was that it would potentially have a negative effect because we knew of that study in Austria that found a detrimental effect of going from 1.5 year of leave to 2.5 year of leave. So much longer leave had a negative effect on depressive symptoms as well as associated psychiatric medication. Importantly, that was not the case in Austria for women who had low birth weight babies. So maybe for those women, actually being able to take longer because their kids had been struggling was not negative. That's not something we are able to test in our data, but I think it really shows the importance of considering different subgroups and different dimensions of potential inequalities. Which brings me to the last point I wanted to discuss with you, which is who might benefit the most from those policies. So what we find across the board are very consistent heterogeneous effects. So this is data, again, from the Danish study I just introduced. It's exactly the same graph, but depending on whether our respondents are below average income or over average income, right? And what we see is that the effect of the policy is exclusively concentrated among women who are below average income, right? There is no effect among women who are above the average income. And we see that across all measures of social disadvantage in our study, women with lower educational level, as I mentioned, below average income, single at the time of birth, benefited the most from the policy expansion that we looked at in Denmark. And this is, I would say, one of the most consistent findings in the literature, when it is possible to look at those subgroup differences, that the most socially vulnerable parents would benefit the most from those policies, but crucially, they are often not able to take up the policy, which is what we see in the UK for parental leave, for example. And there is a really cool study that was published in 2022 looking at the impact of the Swedish 1995 father's quotas, which was the first type of paternity leave policy introduced. They found a protective effect on psychiatric hospitalization rates, but only among migrant fathers, not among Swedish-born fathers, right? And again, this is a consistent findings that makes me think that those policies, and that should be really a focus on what we do next, might have a role to play to improve mental health, and we have good evidence for that, but also to reduce social inequalities in mental health, as we have seen are widely pervasive across a number of countries. So, to finish, I wanted to summarize what we've learned so far. Hopefully, I've convinced you that there are very clear mental health benefits of parental leave for mothers, very likely with diminishing returns beyond 6 months or so. The effect of paternity leave is a lot more complex, and I'm hopeful that ongoing evaluation will bring new evidence, especially from Spain. I know there are evaluations there that are ongoing, which are going to be very interesting because mothers and fathers have the same entitlement in Spain. The quality of the evidence is very varied. We have more and more robust quasi-experimental approaches that really try to get to that causal effect of changes in parental leave entitlements and mental health, and I think that's very welcome. Those long-term effects to me are really fascinating, and they really show the importance of supporting parents during the transition to parenthood, because it will have long-term effects on the mothers in the long run and on kids as well. And importantly, heterogeneous effects are really the rule in this area, rather than the exception. And this has huge implications for the take-up of those policies. If we know that socially disadvantaged groups are more likely to benefit, maybe some of the policy effort has to be about enabling those groups to take up policies that right now they are not able to take up. So what we still need to know, and this is a bit of a wish list if some of you are interested in pursuing that that line of work, what I would love to see, and I think what would be very informative for policymakers, partner spillovers. We don't really know whether your own leave entitlement will have an impact on your partner's mental health. There is some evidence, but it's very preliminary, and I think that, again, when it comes to the cost effectiveness of those type of interventions, would be really interesting evidence to have. Mechanisms, we know almost nothing about mechanisms, right? I've told you at the beginning that we are hypothesizing that parental leave policies will impact mental health through those different mechanisms. That has not been tested really very much, and often because we don't have the data. So it would be great to know that. I've mentioned that there is this non-linear relationship between leave duration and mental health, and likely a threshold effect around 6 months. An empirical test of that would be great. There is some work along those lines in Sweden, but I think nowhere else. So that would be really very informative for policymakers to know that. And of course, there are many other relevant family policies that can support parents and their mental health, right? I focused here on parental leave, but there are many other policies, and France is a fantastic place to try to test some of those policies around childcare, for example, that are likely to be able to support parents' mental health. So I'll stop here because my time is off, and I'm very grateful to our funders for the support for this work. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.